sinister face cream, diamond claws, a perfect basketball game. There are so many reasons for me to be me out, but I keep on being purred back in. We saw Catwoman, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for
hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made, the show where we try to make sense of the movies that make no sense. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul. What is happening?
Not much. And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Hi, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
As always,
so
we
delicate.
I'm a delicate flower.
As always, we have a very special guest. This person is hilarious. You may have recently just seen her on Happy Endings. Very talented writer, comedian, actress. Please welcome Jamie Dembo.
Hello. Hello.
Are you doing this whole thing
is.
In character?
What character? Maybe my whole world outside this is character.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
And your podcast, the Ron and Bev podcast, where can people find that?
They can find it on the iTunes.
Oh. It's hilarious. Catwoman, oh my God. Guys.
Oh, brother.
Wow. How have we not done this movie yet?
It's amazing. I knew we were in trouble just from the beginning with, like, the faux Enya music over, like, the Ken Burns documentary on
cats.
That
was the longest opening credit sequence I've ever seen.
I knew we were in trouble when the director had one name.
Bit off.
Well, I just feel from the very beginning, we had a very thin premise. Like, a thinness that went through the whole thing.
Which means nothing because this is a character who has a very rich history.
Or should.
Like, Catwoman, it's not like,
see,
it's not like an artificial character.
Her.
Like, this is a comic book character who's been around forever.
They decided not to do anything DC with it. They're like, we're not going to adhere to anything that you know about.
Well, but except to say that there have been many Catwomen, so we can get away with this because this is just one Catwoman story.
Right. One of the stories of the many Catwomen. And so basically,
by the way, I'm sorry to jump ahead. I'm so sorry. Was Frances Conroy a Catwoman?
We're just an expert on Catwoman.
We should get to it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You mean Ophelia Powers?
Okay, sure.
Her name is Ophelia Powers. Do you feel him? Ophelia Powers.
Oh, no.
We'll get into
Francis
Conroy.
We have a lot to talk about with the names, too.
So basically, this movie starts off with Halle Berry being, you know, that typical nerdy girl who just bumps into everybody.
With the walk. All about her walk as patients. Just always, apparently all nerds or loser women who are lonely, but gorgeous, hold their sleeves in their wrists. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to put on a coat and not get their sleeves in.
There's a lot of body work in this movie in general. A lot of
physicality.
Yes. When she's patient and nerdy, you're right. It's all stiff arms, high shoulders. And then when she's Catwoman, it's like Miss J from America's Next Top Model came in and was like, girl, this is how you need to do this.
Also, as a nerdy girl, she's always bumping into people. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Basically, did you guys think she was basically, not to draw comparisons again, but it's like she and Sandra Bullock in All About Steve, it's the same kind of like mannered, is how I'm going to be
gorgeous,
an unattractive
women,
nerd girl.
But gorgeous women having no idea how to act not gorgeous.
Yes, exactly.
No idea. Yeah. It's like I honestly felt she was constantly trapped in a pose of like when a little girl goes, meh. Like, I felt like that was the sound that came out of her body.
Well, I also wanted, before we get into the meat of the movie, this is another movie, the thing that drives me crazy. It happened in the Smurfs, which we saw, which is...
Well, don't point to me when you say Smurfs. You pointed right at me.
Oh, the Smurfs, Jason,
love. Do not out me as a Smurf right now, bro. Don't do this to me, bro.
Which is the fact that a cosmetic company is like everyone is waiting for this new cosmetic, and they have a building in New York City, and
it's
everyone
big business,
works.
Paul.
It's all over the news.
Yes.
It's the only thing going on, and yet they never really show like the world expecting it. So it's this presumption that the world is expecting it, and all the shots are like the long shots of the building and the face and the announcement and when's the launch.
Actually, the only people who seem to want this product are people who already work at the company
and who already
who are
using
like,
it.
Who are jamming it on their faces like it's like a
left
bad
right.
cum
a
shot
moment,
in a porno.
A moment for Alex Borstein, who I have to say, is maybe, and I feel badly saying this, but the most unlikable friend, funny friend character I've ever seen.
How do you mean? What are you talking about?
I do want to say we can speak freely about all these people because, in a very classy way, and we're going to play this a little bit later.
Let's Halle keep it Berry, classy today, you guys. Let's keep it classy.
Halle Berry did accept her Razzie and brought Alex Bornstein with her, and they all kind of were like, yeah. We know. Like, so everything
I'm
that we're
obsessed
saying,
with the character of Sally. I feel like we could spend this whole time just simply
just
talking
making,
about Sally.
When she's just making calls from the hospital, just like, girl, what are you doing right now?
She's
in a hospital.
And behind the nurse's desk.
And wearing pigtails. Yeah, which I think was one of the most upsetting things to me.
She's always so horny.
Oh, so horny. She's so Kim Cattrall horny. Trapped in Alex Borstein's body. It's so awkward and weird and uncomfortable.
And she's a little racist.
Oh, yeah. She's
every
just,
time she talks to Halle Berry, she's like putting on.
She calls her chocolate a lot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really
brown sugar.
And he's like, oh, did you see your man yet? Did you like fuck him? She's like, she's so randy.
Very
all
invested.
The time.
Very invested. Way too invested.
This is a best friend who bought her a leather cat suit, which. Good thing she did. For dating emergencies.
Sally didn't buy that for her.
She and the gay friend.
Yeah.
That was a joint gift. I didn't realize.
It said for dating emergencies.
It was the gay friend who came over the side and just goes yay every time something.
All of his lines got cut.
So basically,
because people were like, we can't have a gay guy in this movie. You guys know that, right? You're gonna have to cut him almost completely.
Well, the gay guy who says when he sees Benjamin Bratt, he goes, ooh, look at this man sandwich.
Yep.
That's the same guy.
Yeah,
so we did get one line.
Which does not mean anything. That would mean two men, right?
I guess, did get confused by that.
What is a man? Well, one solo man is not a man sandwich.
No, I think he was just saying, like, I'm hungry for that guy. Like,
well, now I understand it. Now that we're talking about it, but it was a moment where I was like, a sandwich implies that there's several people.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like, if you were like, oh, I would like a man sandwich, I would think, oh, that's a couple of dudes.
Yeah,
like the Voltaggio brothers from Top Chef.
That's a man sandwich.
Correct.
Good call.
Have I revealed too much?
Not at all.
Not enough?
Nope, not enough.
So Halle Berry, who's dressed like Raggedy Ann in the beginning of this movie, needs to get an
but
ad.
She's an artist for an ad company who's given up her art. She's like, yes. I wanted
she
to be an artist. She sold out. She lives in like a multi-million dollar loft.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that loft is amazing.
I actually was glad about that choice because I did think, all right, well, she has sold out, so we have to see where she would have spent her money because it felt like when they started on close-up or something in her loft, I was like, are we going to pull away and it's going to be like a dinky little like...
No,
at least okay, she paid for something,
right?
So I like that logic.
She's doing good.
Confused, though. We opened
and
up...
I do have a couple other things that I genuinely loved about this.
Really?
Movie.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah.
I did too.
And it
was
both
her in
called
that cat
Sharon
suit.
Stone.
Oh my gosh! Amazing.
Amazing.
She was amazing.
Amazing.
Oh,
for all the right reasons.
Yes, absolutely. I have to say, the first outfit Halle Berry's wearing as patients is the craziest ass thing.
It's
I've ever
a free
seen
shopping
in my
bag. It's very eco friendly.
It is just they just. Put layers and layers of clothes on her.
Uh-huh.
There's
like
no rhyme or reason
something.
To that outfit.
Nope.
There's the front is in the back is in the front. It is the craziest
an artist.
Smock
she
I've
is
ever
an artist. She's in a smock.
But by the way, she's also is that her smock?
No.
I'm genuinely asking. I thought
I
maybe
know.
That was a smock.
I think that people. I think
she
they might have been trying to start a fashion trend of smocks.
Okay. And she wore that outfit 2 days in a row.
So did Alex Borstein. She was in the red thing. I noticed that too. I was
but
like,
that's
another
gotta
day.
Be,
what
that's
is that?
Gotta, you know what?
I bet it's an edit problem.
I bet they were like, you know what?
Let's split this in half.
We'll put this over here, this over here. But they're wearing all the same clothes. Nobody will notice. This movie's horrible.
Well, also, here's the
thing.
They'll
be too focused on how bad the movie is to notice this.
Well, we are not even into the first 10 minutes yet.
I could talk forever about the first 10 minutes.
I mean, it's amazing. So basically, her boss, who is so arch, he makes arch people look like nothing. Like, I mean, he's so crazy.
Every line he delivers, every line Sharon Stone is the yippee-ki-yay motherfuckers line.
Yes.
So every line is game over. How would you know? You're a cat person. Like, it just all feels like every line. There's no dialogue of like, hey, how you doing? Like, none at all.
It's all to the top. And so they're releasing this product, which is going to be more important than soap.
Yep.
Is what they say in the movie. And so Halle Berry has to
go. Which is like a beauty cream.
Yes.
Well, it's, like an anti-aging, anti-wrinkle cream.
Which has some pretty crazy properties, which we'll get into. basically, she...
And Sally's just, like, lathering it on her face. She's like, I can't get enough of this stuff.
Yes, although in the very first scene, she lathers it on her face and then says immediately, I can't get enough of this stuff, and then says, oh, I've been having terrible headaches. I know. The next line!
And meanwhile, Halle Berry's like, you know that stuff's experimental. You shouldn't even have that.
Well, every single... line also feels like a studio note. Like, they took every studio note.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like that came along.
Happily.
Every single
one. Hope one of
is everyone going to understand this? We should put in another line to explain it. All right.
I hope one of those studio notes were, hey, we don't understand how she gets her powers. Can you have a cat make out with her dead body? Like, what, how can we get the transference? Can we actually have the cat lip to lip with Halle Berry?
That is one of my favorite scenes.
Like Sleeping Beauty, yep, kiss her back to life.
The cat blows out this breath. Well, the whole reason why she dies is because she needs to get an ad done by midnight. And so no messengers can deliver it to the headquarters.
Which is also the factory.
Which is why,
that's the other thing, is like, why couldn't she...
Why do they need to bring it to the factory?
I don't know.
Which she wasn't even there for.
It's also kind of on an island.
Yeah, the factory's on an island.
And so, it's also like a basement lab is the only place she can wander into.
Yes.
I gotta drop off these designs. I might as well go to a secret basement lab.
And there are clearly security guards all the way around because they come chasing after her.
Yeah.
They
no
don't
alarms.
Stop her.
No
and
alarms.
She sneaks in through the back way. So, and she uncovers the plot that where they say the skin cream eats away your flesh, and this is a bad skin cream. Like, well, fuck it, we need to release it.
By the way, it's meanwhile, one of the best scenes because there's a scientist there who's, I guess, testing this cream.
Yeah.
Who says, like, look, you guys, I can take a lot of things. He's like, I've lived with the headaches it causes. I've lived with the addiction. I've lived with the side effects, the nausea. He's like, I cannot live with this. Who is this guy that he can live with any of that? Yeah.
But he can't live with their face being
with the
decomposed.
Disfiguration. Yeah.
I also, again, like the stakes of just releasing a beauty cream. Like, to what? Why so important?
In what world is this that important? It's like,
I've
never seen Clinique take over, like, the news.
You know what?
Pages.
I actually thought it was really offensive because I felt like they were taking this female, like, superhero and then making her have to deal with something that was, like,
girl
related. Yeah. Well, like, she couldn't actually do anything that was real.
Because the other thing is, Catwoman is in the comics, and I know they're not adhering to any comic thing, like, is a villain. You know, she's a thief. She steals stuff. She's like
she's
bad guy.
She's a cat burglar.
She's a cat burglar. Right. Exactly. And to make her be like a good guy who's like rescuing women from like a beauty product is absolutely so demeaning.
See, I didn't
it's
know that
amazing.
About Catwoman because I was thinking that the whole time, like, is she good or bad?
Yeah.
Because she does steal,
well, I knew she was
but then
bad.
She gives it back, but then she does keep that necklace.
That's why they had to make... That was the only way to flesh this out, I guess, in some way. Because, honestly, like...
It takes, like, 20 minutes to get to the bad guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
This movie is 9 hours long.
Yeah.
It's very long.
It's very long for an 88-minute movie or whatever. It's like 103 minutes, but it feels like a lifetime. It is crazy.
But I think that's interesting when talking about the whole feminist... nature of it.
That's the rest of the podcast should be a feminist appraisal of the movie Catwoman.
Yay, June, party time!
I'm up for it.
But is that I didn't know watching. I'm like, so who is this for and who do they think it's for? The whole movie. I'm like, so who is the audience that they think they're getting it? They think they obviously want to get superhero people.
Yeah, like fanboys.
Right, fanboys and then fangirls up to an age when that doesn't necessarily... Or for the some women that it stays for, but let's be general, speak in generals. And then is it for women?
No.
Because it's also like, or they think
she's
it's
all
for
sexy.
Women. Right, but they think like,
love
but
story.
It is power.
So the love story with Benjamin.
But that's what was really offensive though about the movie to me too, because it's like they spent more time sexualizing her.
Oh my God.
In these super
when she first becomes the Catwoman and she gets in the costume, they have about a minute and a half long tracking shot that just kind of spins around her body, and you're just looking at this costume.
And she looks amazing.
Yep. Amazing.
She looks
amazing. It's amazing.
Amazing, but her
what are her powers?
I don't...
Her powers are the power of a cat, and then also the powers of crazy things.
Yeah.
So she can sneak out of a prison by contorting her body because cats have very flexible bodies. She can land on her feet all the time.
Yeah, we see that happen a lot.
And then you first see your powers, like
heightened senses.
Heightened senses, but do cats have like crazy senses like that where they see birds really closely or like dogs?
How about they're gross cats for 1 second? Yeah. And they do. I did think it was both funny and appalling when she was eating the fucking tuna fish.
Oh, that was disgusting. I wrote that down. I was like, what the fuck?
The hottest woman in the world could be eating tuna fish and it's not sexy.
Every time she's eating, and she's also eating sushi with Benjamin Brett, it's like she can't control herself. She's
again, a lot of work. There is a lot of acting coach work in here, and Halle Berry does talk in her Razzie speech about working with her acting coach on this part. Which is true. I loved
all the cat physicalization.
What?
I loved it, you guys. I loved it. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I loved all of the physical stuff. I loved her licking that milk.
I did too. And then her lipstick being perfect. That to me was a good superhero moment.
I loved it.
We didn't even talk about the fact that after she gets transformed into Catwoman, she goes from this girl who's like, oh, I'm Patience Phillips, to Rihanna. Yeah. Like, that's it. Her next look is full on Rihanna.
Yeah.
Rihanna and her dress, the hair is exactly the same.
Yep.
I think Rihanna is stealing from Catwoman.
Well, she has to because it's dated.
It's the same thing, yeah.
But what's crazy is when you suggested that when Catwoman came up, my immediate thought was like, oh, that from the 90s, that film.
Yeah.
It is only from 2005.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was like 1997.
No.
Yeah.
Why is this? I don't know.
This movie is recent.
She won the Academy Award and then did this movie.
This was the next movie.
Wait, so she... Okay, but she won Monsters Ball like in 2004.
And then used the clout to get this done.
Oh.
What's a bummer about this is like I actually think it could have been a really cool, amazing.
You're wrong.
Yes,
I think it could have been amazing.
Well, if they actually adhered to what Catwoman is,
Michelle Pfeiffer's good.
Halle Berry could have done it.
I think it's interesting that girl with the dragon tattoo is so in the zeitgeist right now because I think that if that came out first, then this would be kind of an amazing concept. Because I think, I think that there is something very similar. I don't know why. I haven't formed the words that connect any of these thoughts.
However, the good and bad?
And also that leathery kind of like misfit thing. Like that should be our fucking Catwoman.
Well, there is that's an era. This movie and Elektra are the two movies in which they make such dread. It is truly missteps of like, comic movies completely misunderstanding how to represent women in movies and market towards their audience that way. And you know, like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or even like Columbiana, like all of these like female-centric action movies or movies that have like an intensity to them are much more like they're richer stories.
Absolutely.
Like I think because these are comic books, people are like, well, it's just for fanboys. Put her in a sexy outfit, have her jump
and
around
run
the rooftops.
Around. Yeah, she's not safe. There's no crime. You don't get the sense.
No, there's
like,
no mission.
At the end of
there's
the
nothing.
Movie, like she's going to continue to be Catwoman, but there's no crime to it. Like what is she going to do? She's going to fight what?
I feel like she and Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone, who is so fucking good in this movie.
This is like her comeback movie
and
or
you know
wanting
what?
To be
great.
A comeback movie.
Should have been. She's great. Yeah. She's awesome. She does exactly
she's
what she's
it.
Supposed to do.
She's
she is fucking
it.
Gorgeous. She's a wonderful villain. She is not, oddly, not overacting, I don't think. I feel like
she's
one of the only people who understands the movie
exactly.
She's in.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, so Halle Berry has these powers, and Benjamin Bratt, which we should just back up for a second and talk about Benjamin Bratt. Benjamin Bratt finds Halle Berry while he's on his way to work one morning. Halle Berry is out on a ledge trying to save a cat, but he thinks that
she's turned into Catwoman.
He thinks that she's a suicide jumper, and then they kind of get this flirtation, and now...
And by the way, he keeps on apologizing for thinking that. It's like, don't be sorry about that.
Don't be sorry.
Like,
she was on a ledge
crying.
Of a building... Like, looking like she was a jumper. Right. Anyway, so they
There's
get this
whole weird line of her being, like, offended that was... It's like, you were hanging out of a building.
And then, but then it's like, ooh, I'm late for work, and goes straight to work.
Yeah,
like, you almost died. You almost died just
now. And then, by the way, when she drops her wallet, and they clearly moved the door slamming up so that there would be enough time for him to find the wallet on the floor. Did you notice that? Like, why couldn't you just yell her name? You could give her a wallet
right now.
She was
just down... She was so close. Yeah, you could run down those stairs.
Right
you ran
there.
Right up the stairs.
You're a cop,
hey,
so...
You did it.
You could literally, all he had to do was this, hey, your wallet.
That's as much, that
by
level,
the way, that's
that
as
level.
Much effort as it would have taken. Hey, your wallet.
By the way, the other thing I think that is important to note is he finds her wallet and then shows up at her work. Because as we all know, our wallets have our work address in
them. Yep.
Just like when she finds him at the school he's giving a talk in by being like, I called the police station.
And
they said
you
might be here.
And also...
at a random school in this city.
He's in a random school giving a lecture, but it seems that part of him is that he's always at this school, but yet it seems like it's the first time that he's there. He's like...
And apparently strangers can just walk into classrooms in this school and smile awkwardly at the guy talking and then challenge him to a one-on-one basketball
game. But also, what...
Why have we not talked about the one-on-one basketball game yet?
And what is happening... What is also happening with him in that school? He's like, hey, kids, don't grow up to be bad. Who wants to play some basketball? Yeah. Like, wait, that's the lecture? It's a half cop lecture, half basketball thing?
No, it's a half cop lecture. Hey, kids, don't be bad. Half the kids being like, show us your gun.
Oh, yeah.
We want to see your gun.
Can you shoot
your gun.
Somebody?
Actually,
what?
I have to say I like the choice of him being at that school. Because I felt what it did was... I really
June?
Did. Because I
June,
felt what
I
it did...
I think you
liked this movie.
What?
I did not like it. I thought it was
campy
and
campy.
Fun. And I liked it because it was also like, we're not going to show him like solving a crime and being heroic because it's going to take away from our gal.
Right.
So we're going to actually put him in this like feminine environment where he's like nurturing and...
So this one-on-one basketball game...
Ugh.
Holy cow. I remember seeing this in the theater.
It's the giggling that she's doing, too, throughout.
And
it's all shots of her upper body, so they're in. They never move.
Nope.
They almost never move.
Well, it's a one-on-one basketball game where they never shoot the ball.
Right.
All they do is dribble. Yeah. And then the only time that there's any movement is when she does it, or she does a lot of walks on the walls and stuff. She does a standing jumper that then somehow she falls on top of him.
Yeah.
That's the action of it.
She also...
And at one point, there's just a close-up of her. There's just a close-up, a very tight close-up of her ass jiggling.
Yep. Yes, there is.
There's also like shots of her upper body, like moving her arms like she's dribbling.
Like a Muppet. Like
showing them eye contact. And then lower body shots of her like dribbling the ball through her legs like a Harlem Globetrotter, which I'm 100% certain was a man.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
If you watch upper body to lower body shots, the lower body
really
shots,
upsetting.
She
That's
is
really
a man.
Really
I guarantee a man did these things.
A man, I think... fucking CGI. There's so many parts in this movie where her body is completely CGI, like when she's running around the city.
All the jumping.
Yeah, everything is CGI.
I will say this. To me, the really genuinely standout good scene in this movie from another movie.
So you liked it too?
Was the Ferris wheel scene, which was great.
Oh, that's right from Beverly Hills Cop 3.
All right. Well, that's why it was good.
I know. Which is not a good sign of being good. But no, that scene,
it did everything it should do.
I agree.
It made him on par as an equal someone who is...
they were working together. Yeah.
She saved the kid, which I thought was a good... Frankly, I thought it was awesome to see her. So that's such a superhero move. I loved this movie.
You're like almost jerking off right now.
It was a music video, too. The whole movie is a music video.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the
but
music...
They lost, though, and I couldn't believe it, is this just... watching her, there was no like, oh, I'm watching this woman who was patient figure out all of her superhero powers. Like, that's the fun of the movie.
She seems
and we don't see
to be oblivious.
Any of it.
And
she
her superhero powers,
like, I think she's talking about somebody else.
And she's giggling with this basketball stuff. It's like, don't giggle. Like, really? Like, what is happening right now?
But to me, it's like Superman, Batman, you understand a base of their powers. Here, I she can run and jump from building.
Right.
But besides that, it was very iffy. It was like,
she's
hungry like a cat, but she's not a cat.
Yep.
But sometimes she's possessed by the cat.
She hisses like a cat.
Sometimes she sleeps like a human. Sometimes she sleeps on
like
a pillow.
Yeah, it's like, weird.
Or on a shelf.
I loved when she hissed.
Oh, we didn't talk about the moment in the movie when she's confused about being a cat that she Googles cat.
Cat? No,
and
she Googles cats, period, women. That's what she Googled.
Sir, how about the conversation of the cops going, what should we call her? Cat chick?
Cat broad?
Cat broad. What jerk.
She's wearing open-toed sandals throughout all of her adventures as Catwoman. And somebody has created diamond talons for her.
Yeah, because those didn't come in the box.
Gloves with diamonds on the fingers? What are you talking about?
So she is confused. She doesn't want to take on the Catwoman persona just yet. So she goes to Frances Conroy, Ophelia Powers.
Oh, my God.
Who is really upset with the men in the world.
Who lives in the up house?
Oh,
I wrote that down, too. She lives in the up house, this little house in the middle of a city.
Of skyscrapers.
Like a tiny Victorian house, like, in the midst of, like, Wall Street, like, skyscrapers. Yeah.
And she's in this up house, and this woman is upset with the men in this world because she was denied tenure.
Yeah.
That was, like...
Academia
is a man's world.
Yeah.
Oh.
Paul, you pointed this out, but Midnight, the cat that's by her side the whole movie, is like the most uninspired, uninteresting
cat.
Casting was terrible for that cat.
But, and
I don't know who cast that cat.
And sometimes they just CGI the cat when the cat's not even doing anything. The cat just standing, like looking at the camera. It's all CGI. So
there's 45 minutes. This is a superhero movie. There's 45 minutes before the first fight sequence.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Which takes place.
Fuck you.
But lots of Alex Borstein just kind of eating.
Just like, girl, did you meet for coffee with that guy yet? I'm like, you are Alex Borstein. You are not a black woman.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Jimmy Smits catches on at one point that Halle Berry and Catwoman might be the same person because they both wrote Sorry.
Yeah.
She wrote Sorry because she missed the date with Benjamin Bratt / Jimmy Smits on a coffee cup.
That scene is amazing.
And then she also wrote Sorry on the bag of diamonds that she stole. She returns it to the diamond place. And they're like, does this match? Does this handwriting match? I'm not a handwriting expert. I could say this is clearly written by the same exact person.
He brings it to a handwriting expert.
Yes.
Who says, does it match exactly? No, it's close. In this first one, you see the space between the S and the O suggests loneliness.
Yes.
They're bananas. Exactly the same.
And he goes, it suggests loneliness, but this other one is an adventurous woman.
Yeah.
But the other one's an introvert, but this one wants to get revenge. And he goes, man, if you put these two women into a room, you'd have one hell of a party.
Yeah, what the fuck does that mean? Do your fucking job.
Well, it also, like, you put a really antisocial woman in the room with a crazy, like,
holy shit, and when is it the same guy that studies the scar on his cheek?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like perfect, 99.9% perfect match.
That is bonkers.
And he's studying that scar at midnight because Benjamin Bratt at midnight, or they just had sex, Halle Berry and Benjamin Bratt, and then he like...
Jimmy Smits.
And he goes to, like, he sees something, he goes to the lab. But it's clearly like 2 or 3 in the morning because they just fucked and they had dinner and it was a late night.
I love that cat sex scene.
Cat sex. And he brings it and the lab is fully functioning.
Oh, yes.
At, like, way in the early morning. That's when they get the 99%.
We have not talked about when she is going to fully embrace becoming Catwoman. She cuts her own hair with two scissors, in each hand.
Edward Scissorhands.
It's basically Edward Scissorhands. She's like, snip, 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 snip. And I was like, how could you? No, you can't use two sets of scissors to cut your own hair. Why would you even put this in?
Cats can do that.
Fuck you.
I don't know what it was. I wrote down one thing here, but... I think Benjamin Bratt said something, and please tell me if you remember this. He goes, would you be upset if your wife did blank, blank, blank? And the guy goes, I would if she was carrying a pizza.
Would your wife rescue a cat on a ledge?
Oh, right.
If the cat was carrying a pizza.
I guess because his wife's fucking fat. She's a fat pizza lover.
This movie is so, line just stuck out to me as being terrible.
Terrible.
The whole basic premise of the movie is that the skin cream is killing people. Halle Berry wants to find out who killed her.
If you stop, right?
Yes,
that's the other thing. Oh, I didn't realize
that. But
if you continue, you become marble.
You become a super villain.
You become Sharon Stone.
Who is marble.
Yes, she doesn't feel pain.
Yeah.
Which leads me to her demise.
Yes.
Why does she...
Agreed. She shouldn't die at all.
Yeah.
She should just fall to the ground. She should fall to the ground and be like, and shake it off, because why would that hurt?
Her skin started changing before she died.
Yeah, why? Because she was scratched?
Well, maybe.
Can you scratch marble? I didn't know.
With diamond nails?
Yeah.
Oh, she's got diamond nails, you guys.
Guys, diamonds. I love that we're really trying to track this.
By the way, during the fight scene between Halle Berry and Sharon Stone, Sharon Stone does not throw a punch back. She just gets the shit kicked
out of her. By the way, where are they having
this
fight? They're having a fight in the poster warehouse. It's just like
it's the top floor of
this building where they just keep all the old
posters.
Why
women are going to be into this movie? Because it's in like beauty
it's in
and
like
fashion.
And then there's going to be a new model who's younger. Every woman has that problem. Everyone.
Hey, do you guys think when she becomes Catwoman, she should have like super like powers? No, not really. But she should now be able to fight like a ninja. Okay, yeah, she can do that.
There's also a scene, and again, we've talked about the woman aspect of this film, but there's a scene where, like, Tom Lone, who is Benjamin Bratt's character.
Sally has a lot to say about that
name. You mean Louis Guzman.
Oh, yes, you're right, Louis Guzman. It confronts Sharon Stone. He knows the evil plan, and he's caught her in it. I will play a clip.
Because I finally trusted a friend.
Yeah, well, your friend just got you killed.
Don't be stupid, Laura. You don't want to kill a cop.
I'm a woman, Lone. I'm used to doing all kinds of things I don't want to do. Give my regards to my husband.
Like, they would throw in these lines like that.
She is gorgeous. Yeah. Sharon Stone is gorgeous and powerful, and her husband treats her like garbage because she's over 40
and looks and
she looks 10 billion times better than the 25 year old
skank. She's so much more beautiful than the model who's replaced
but she's like model hasn't said anything important to me since he said I do.
It's all of the pronouncements about like the new campaign and retiring the face of like as though that would be covered in anything.
Although I have to say the press conference when they finally have it.
Yes.
After her husband dies.
Oh my God.
There's like three photographers there. Like and there's it's nothing.
And it's not in like a press room.
No, it's in their boardroom.
It's basically in the circular room from Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
It's like in an evil lair. They're like, we'll have a couple pieces of the media come to the evil lair.
There's an alternate ending on the DVD. The original ending,
it's
which
actually.
It's pretty great. So the movie ends with the Catwoman writing a letter to Ophelia Powers. And Tom Lone and saying, thank you so much for your help.
Wait, I think you mean Isai Morales.
Oh, yes. Isai Morales. And and so Danny Trejo gets the letter, and it basically says, hey, look, I'm a Catwoman now. I need to be independent. See you around. Now, meanwhile, I guess she's just going to live in the city and just, but not date him. I don't know. So that's how the movie ends. She's like, I'm a Catwoman now.
Right.
I do my own thing.
Right.
She walks off.
Ambiguous leading room for franchise.
Exactly. Then. The way the alternate ending goes is it cuts to her. The whole movie ends. Sharon Stone dies at the press conference. Cuts to her outside with Alex Borenstein painting a mural of a cat on a building, and there's kids helping her.
Mural.
A giant cat mural.
You know what I'm realizing, Paul?
What?
They must have been outside that school that they were at before.
Right, the basketball school.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that at first.
So they're painting a giant cat mural.
It's coming together for me.
And then Benjamin Bratt comes up and goes, hey, just so you know, we solved the case. Everyone said that they were guilty, and it's all done. And then she goes, why don't you come down and we'll talk? And then they come down and talk. The camera does this insane thing where it's spinning around them. There's no action. It's just a dialogue scene. The camera's spinning almost to the point of like nausea. And it's like, she's like, can you live with somebody who's a Catwoman? He's like, well, I could do whatever. You know, I'm cool with that. And she's like,
she says, because I'm pretty complicated.
Yeah. He goes, well, I like a complicated woman. And that's.
And Nancy Myers was like, hey, that's a good idea.
And then that's the end. The end is that they go off
and
then the camera
pans
up. Yeah, just go up into the sky that they're going to be together forever and the cat mural is going to be finished painting.
But after that, you realize this wasn't like, they didn't.
And Alex Borenstein behind them going, hubba, 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 you nailed it.
She's up on the roof, on the scaffolding,
not doing anything, just like commenting, like, oh, this painting is bad.
Isn't she with the hot doctor?
Meanwhile, Alex Borenstein, in the alternate ending, she's not in the one that's in the movie.
She's,
oh, okay, all right.
That's delicious. And the strawberry, too.
Oh, God.
What? Now, Alex Borenstein, you're led to believe that she's getting sick from the cream, but she clearly clearly stops using the cream and her face doesn't melt off. So.
And she's totally fine with the fact that she's like been in a hospital for 4 days.
She's
and the
doctor's
undergoing major tests.
She's in the hospital more concerned with getting laid
or,
than
no.
the fact that
and
she's
getting a drug.
No, getting Halle Berry laid. Yes. Getting laid. Yeah, it's crazy.
Why does Halle Berry, I can't deal with the scenes in this movie where she, when she's Catwoman, she just runway walks
it's,
everywhere
it's
she goes.
Because it's as different as you can possibly get she from a little kid.
She just is making it so labored to walk wherever she's going.
Guys, can I tell you something?
Well, because I think she's walking like a cat in a very sensual way. I loved her physicality.
I just want to ask you guys, this is a little bit of a trivia question. How many writers wrote this movie?
11.
Okay, how many you want to say?
I looked it up, so I shouldn't guess.
Okay.
Oh, God. I'm going to say like 8.
28 Whoa. Writers were
well,
involved
that's how many it took.
In the arbitration.
They nailed it.
Okay, but they finally were awarded to 3 writers and 2 story credits. But 28 writers were involved in this script at one point.
Wow.
28.
Anyone notable?
The ones that wrote it were John D. Brancato, Michael Ferris, John Rogers, Teresa Rebeck, Brancato and Ferris. So those are the...
Wow.
As you can tell, we did not love this movie, but now it is time for a second opinion. These are culled from Amazon.com. These are 5-star reviews of Catwoman. So here you go. This is from Huntsville. If you like cats or Halle Berry, you're going to like this movie. Jay Harris writes...
Not both.
No.
If you like either or, that's enough. If you just like cats and hate Halle Berry, you're still going to like this movie.
Yeah, exactly. But if you, either or.
If you like both, holy shit.
You're in.
Your day just got made.
Here is another version of that quote. As I love both cats and ancient Egypt, this was my dream movie.
What? So you like the like 2 very short montages.
Yeah, the opening montage had some papyrus in it. That's it.
This is the other one I really like. I have no idea why some people say this is bad, because it isn't. It's actually really good. Definitely good. I'm a guy!
So desperate.
And then this gets a little bit more serious. It goes, I also like the way this movie treated the duality of what a woman be if she chooses and her right to choose.
Virgin vamp.
I have recommended this film to all I know who are like me, a pagan.
Oh, that's amazing.
That. And finally, the last one. There's so many here that were amazing. On one hand, I'm happy because of the bad publicity that I get the DVD of this movie sooner. But on the other hand, I'm saddened because I probably won't get the sequel. So this guy liked the bad publicity because he just wanted to get a DVD soon.
Thank
God.
Can I ask,
what is the lore of Catwoman? Like, how in the comic
it changes,
books is
actually.
She...
There's
multiple Catwoman.
Ones, right?
Oh, yeah. I see. All right.
But usually, she's a Batman villain, basically. But then Batman is constantly kind of, like, having a relationship with her. She's very compelling. She started out as, like, a cat burglar, blah, blah,
one
blah.
One thing I also have to say, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this is just my personal or female point of view. I feel like Michelle Pfeiffer's actual suit is so much sexier than, like, the S&M and the big tits, like, the fucking, like, pushed up. Like, Halle Berry, you know those aren't... Yeah. That's not all her. Yeah. Like, it's just, and like, the sexed up part of it. Like, I prefer the American Horror Story, like, giant body condom.
No, totally.
I'm down with that.
I don't know. I thought she looked good.
I know. She looked amazing.
She looked good, but she was, like, covered in glitter makeup. And
she looked very shiny.
She looked like she was just walking
shiny.
A runway.
It looked like you were watching a Rihanna concert. Where Rihanna,
it didn't look functional, is what
it didn't
I'm hearing.
Look
also, her her mask is the worst mask in the history of superhero masks.
Also, cats have fur. I'm just going to say
they're not skinny yet.
Every time she jumps.
Be soft.
If she was wearing this, every time she jumped anywhere, her tits would pop out.
Would fall out, of course.
Yeah.
Which I watched astutely, and they did not happen. That did not happen.
As always, we go to you, the audience, to play a part in the show. Last week, we asked you to go on to eardrop and record your favorite bad pun. That would be like you would pretend that you're Catwoman. Maybe you and a friend would get together and do one of the puns from the movie. Like, you know, it's a perfect crime. So here are some of our favorites puns from Catwoman.
Once I've had my claws in you, you'll need to pee with a catheter.
So good.
So good, guys, right?
Amazing.
Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts that we didn't cover? Anything that people want to talk about? I think that this movie is definitely worth the rental.
Oh, it is.
Without a doubt. It's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes, and it's on YouTube.
I gotta say, it's outrageous, but it's not a bad
viewing
experience.
It's not a bad viewing experience. Oh, yeah, it's true. It's a fun, bad
a
movie
to
watch.
Yes.
It's campy and silly, and it, you know what? It is almost, if it were just that much campier and sillier, it would have been awesome. Yeah.
Yes. It misses the mark because it takes itself a little bit too seriously. Yep. So, like I said earlier,
wait, you think this movie, directed by Pete Toff,
who was just a visual effects guy, which makes sense.
Takes itself too seriously.
That makes a ton of sense.
He did three movies. This was one of them. So it's like, and he was all, but he's listed crazy credits for visual effects.
I can only say that I think the final word of this movie is best spoken by Halle Berry and her Razzie speech, which we have called together the best parts of. She goes to town, and she was going down with this Worst Actress Award. She showed up with her Oscar in one hand and a Razzie in the other, but she takes down everyone. Take a listen to that.
I've got so many people to thank because you don't win a Razzie without a lot of help from a lot of people. So please indulge me and just let me, you know, go through this. First of all, I want to thank Warner Brothers. Thank you for putting me in a piece of shit, god-awful movie. You know, it was just what my career needed, you know? I was at the top, and then Catwoman just plummeted me to the bottom. I want to thank my manager, Vincent Cerenzione. Vince, here he is. Here's my manager, Vincent Cerenzione. Listen, this guy loves me. He loves me so much. He loves me so much that he tells me that I'm the greatest actress there ever was. He loves me so much that he convinces me to do projects even when he knows they're shit. But that's how much he loves me. That's how much he really loves me. And my only advice to you, Vinny, is next time I do a movie, if I get a chance to do another movie, maybe you should read the script before you read the... Well, just counting the zeros behind the one really isn't enough. You really gotta read the script. Thank you. I love you, man. Love you. I want to thank my agent and my lawyers, who obviously don't give a shit. They're not here tonight. But love you guys. Love you. I want to thank the writers, all 20 of them. Thank you for thinking this was a good idea. Obviously it wasn't, but I appreciate the thought. You thought it was. You tried. Hey, thank you. I want to thank the cast. You know, it's really important. In order to give a really bad performance like I did, you need a lot of bad actors around you. So I want to thank all of them. I also want to thank our director, Pete Toff. You know, that one name French guy. Thank you very much. It was a joy to come to work every day and work with him, really. I mean, I didn't know what the hell he was saying, but I'm sure it showed in my performance. But it was truly a joy and a pleasure. And I also want to thank my acting coach, Ivana Chubbuck. She just wrote a book called The Power of the Actor. You all should rush out and get it. Could change your life, too.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. I don't know if you heard what's going on in the next room. I hope you didn't. as always, you can follow Jamie. You're on Twitter at
Jamie Dunbo.
And Jason, you're
I'm not
Twitter.
On Twitter.
June, you're at
Miss June Diane.
I am at Paul Scheer. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes if you like the show. Thank you very much. Goodbye.